the message today is Israel, my love. Israel, my love. Today I want to talk about our love and unwavering support for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. It's imperative that we understand the biblical mandate to stand by them. For in doing so, we align ourselves with God's enduring promise and his eternal plan. I don't know if you've been following the news, but it's big time on the news that there is been multiple attacks on Israel from the south with Hamas and the north, Hezbollah coming, air assault from Lebanon coming out and attacking them as well. And so we need to pray. We need to pray like never before. There was a pastor that I met about 4 or 5 years ago at a conference that I was at. And the way that I met him is the conference was over, the crowd was kind of mingling. And have you ever met somebody where they just kind of like come out of the crowd and they're walking towards you and you're walking towards them and there's people all around and it's a God moment? Have you ever had one of those? That's what it was. He came to me, I came to him, and he said, "You and I need to meet." And I said, "Yes, that's right. You and I need to meet. What about? Hi, my name is Robert." He said, "My name is Israel," which went right over my head. And this is a pastor. And we began to talk. My wife was standing there. We were talking with him. And I said, "I am so sorry, but I have already forgotten your name." And I knew that he was from Israel. He said, "You forgot my name? Do you remember where I'm from?" I said, "Yeah, you're from Israel." He said, "My name is Israel." Like, get it together, man. I said, "Okay, how could I forget that? Pastor Israel from Israel. I mean, duh." So we made a connection. That was about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And we have done Missionary of the Month to Voice of Judah Ministries there in Israel with Pastor Israel. We've done it several times. I feel like we need to revisit it because he's been putting out videos of, and you're going to see some of them today, where he's talking in the camera and the bombs are going off. And he's not too far away where all the action is happening in the Gaza Strip south on the border of the Mediterranean Sea. If you go up to Ashkelon, there is where the most bombing has been happening. And then you go a little bit higher is where Pastor Israel and his church are there. He's going to talk about that as well. But listen to what he said this last week. He said, "We are in some of the darkest days in the history of Israel. The magnitude of what is happening in these unprovoked attacks on Israel and her citizens are not exaggerated. It is truly the greatest tragedy Israel has ever faced since its establishment in 1948. If we speak of proportions, considering Israel's population of only 9 million people, according to the U.S. Secretary of State, what is happening in Israel is equivalent to 10 incidents of the 9/11 event, 10 of them, if you look at the equivalents. Israel is dealing with daily horrific terror attacks and slaughter of its civilians unprecedented in modern history. The numbers keep rising and the atrocities committed continue to be revealed. With over 12,000 Israelis murdered in one day, this is the largest number of Jews murdered in current history since the Holocaust. So far, Israel has recruited over 300,000 soldiers, including reserves. By the way, two of those 300,000 were Pastor Israel's own sons. He drove them to Gaza on the front lines of the battle. He drove his sons to the battle. They have left their lives, their jobs, families to defend their nation. Every soldier needs to be focused and engaged in the battle. When we were in Israel, we saw young people in the IDF, the Israeli army. If you are a young person in Israel, you have no choice. You're not in a draft. You're not volunteering. You are automatically a part of the Israeli army if you're a young person in Israel. So I've got three short clip videos that I want to show you with Pastor Israel. And Ken, if you could make sure that the sound is, make sure that the sound is nice and good and the volume is nice and good when we show these, okay? Here we go. Let's take a look at the first video. Make sure the sound's really good, okay?
Right above my congregation. I'm on the balcony, the church balcony. Right over the talk is very deceptive from this side. And I think one more on the left side. Because of something on that side. So we're still praying. Prophet's fine from Gaza, from that side. So I keep praying for God's protection. And praise the Lord, it works. So pray for Israel. As you can see, the streets are empty and the stores are closed because Arab and south of Israel are under constant fire, rocket fire. Blessings, dear friends, and thank you for your prayers. We see already many miracles because of your prayers. So keep praying. Oh, I can hear shrapnel fall down. Okay, that's part of the deal to be careful with shrapnel. It takes time until they fade out from the distance there.
Okay, so what he's referring to is the what they call the Iron Dome. It is the Israeli defense system that actually we helped install there that intercepts these missiles coming in. It's an amazing system that has been set up. And is it 100% effective? No, that's why he's saying pray. He is in Ashdod, which is north of Gaza. And let's take a look at this next video. These are the supplies that they are bringing to the army right there at the border. I put that video in there because it gives you a feel like this, man, this is really happening right now. This is really happening. Okay, one more video. Let's take a look at this one.
Shalom,
this one's pretty emotional.
Ashdod, in between sirens and explosions here in Ashdod, I just want to share with you some insight, just to share with you my emotions, my personal experiences. You know, war is tough, always tough. You know, as a pastor, I did many burials, unfortunately, even for young people, younger people. First time ever I'm going to bury a soldier who grew up in my house as a family to me. Best friend of my youngest son, who is in the army right now. His life is like all the soldiers in Israel, in danger. But I came to sit with the family, waiting to hear when going to be funeral. Army still didn't release the body of fallen soldier David Ratner. So I'm sitting with the family, and we're just talking, sharing pictures, and you know what we found? That's hilarious. But biggest collection of pictures of David actually was on my wife's phone, because they grew up as best buddies, and many times, you know, his family was busy raising other kids. David has five brothers, that is the oldest, so they had no car for a long time in Israel. So my wife would pick up Guy and David, and together they will go to different places, and she would make pictures of them. So biggest collection of pictures actually was on Vicky's phone. And today she surprised them. She sent them 300 pictures. Lots of sweet moments. And the highlight of our time actually was conversations with Papa, the dad, Abba, and Ima and Mama, his mom, and she said 3 weeks ago she has driven him to the military base. And normally, because David has his own car, when he asked Mama, could you take me to the military base, she said, well, normally, she said, I would say, no, you have your own car, go. But she said, this time I felt like I will take him there. So they were driving together, and he was sharing with Mom, I'm reaching out to my fellow soldier, Ariel, and I want him to get saved. I really want him to get saved, and somehow he's not ready yet. And she said, David, I know, I want to be sure your life is in order. He said, Mom, don't worry. I come through different situations in the military right now, different operations, and Jesus is my Lord. Yeshua is my Lord, Adon Shelly, my Lord. It was such a warm conversation, and Miriam said, so I drove them to the military base, and it was last time we driven together. I drove him to the base when he fell, as a soldier fell in battle. That's it. It's difficult to hear all these stories, yet we know David is saved, he's with the Lord, and we keep praying for the nation of Israel. We will continue to preach the gospel, to pray for our people of Israel, to pray for Palestinians, because these guys, they need salvation. This place that become as a Satan, as a throne of Satan, because all the evil and darkness that rises there. Even Muslim world is shocked. Really, many Muslims are shocked by what they have seen. So it's time to raise our prayers and pray, and as Israeli believers, that's our time to be a light, to share hope, encouragement, and just walk together with the sorrows and pain of our nation, and pray that comfort from the Holy Spirit will come over the nation. Thank you, friends, for your prayers. I know you are faithful friends and prayer warriors. Thank you for praying for Israel. Thank you for helping, standing together. There are so many lost people and they need salvation. So that's why we're here. And that's why you're there. And together we make a difference. Thank you, friends. Shalom. I will keep you updated from the funeral, from the military procedure. We will talk with family. But meanwhile, shalom. Bye-bye.
Pastor Israel has one of the largest Messianic congregations in Israel. And I don't know if you could catch from the video, but he's talking about a family friend that grew up in their home, basically, David, and his mother drove him to the front lines, and on the way asked him if he was right with the Lord, and he said, yes, Mom, I've accepted Jesus as my Messiah, and he ended up dying, and that's why Pastor Israel's emotional, because this boy grew up as a family friend, and they had to say goodbye to him. Thank God he accepted Christ. But, you know, early in my walk with the Lord, and I want to talk about the importance of us as Christians, as believers, in having Israel tied into our faith. But when I rededicated my life to the Lord early on, God had put into my life music and culture that was very tied into the Jewish people. And I think God did that on purpose to really give me a heart for Israel and his ancient chosen people. And I want to encourage you to seek that out in your own life, because it really is all centered there in God's holy land and his chosen people. And it's important to have that in your faith. Because it started there and it's going to end there. And we don't realize that so many times when we're here in the United States of America. That's one of the first things that I realized when I was in Israel, is that we think that we're the center of the world. We think that we're the center of where everything is. And God made that very clear to me when I was there, especially at the Western Wall, the place of where the temple was, where Solomon and David established the temple, where Abraham had his threshing floor and offered sacrifice to the Lord. It all is this at the center here in Israel. It's there. At the center is everything, the center of the world. That was made very clear to me when I was there. And if you think about it, really, without the Jewish people, we would have no knowledge of God because when God called out Abraham, he called him out of pagan culture that had many gods and did not know the one true God. But God called out to Abraham and said, you, I'm going to reveal myself to you, and I'm going to reveal myself to the world through you. And so we have everything of our faith. We have, later on, we have the Bible that was established and so on. And then for sure, we have the Messiah that came out from the Jewish people. So we have the redemption of through the Messiah that came. And for those reasons, I think it's important for us to have a faith that looks towards Israel and a faith that honors and supports them. So I've got five major points I want to go over real quick about why it's so important for us to love Israel and love the Jewish people. And when you go forward in this week, And you're hearing the news. I want us to be a praying church for Israel and for the Jewish people, because God can work miracles in the midst of everything that's happened. I'm going to talk about that as well. But the first thing I want to talk about is the Abrahamic covenant and the Messiah. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's quite a promise. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham was the first Jewish person, and Israel was began there with the Abrahamic covenant. The promise of the Messiah through the Jews would be that he would come, the Messiah would come through the seed, the offspring of Abraham, and would bless all the nations. That's Genesis 12:3 that we just read. He would be a prophet like Moses, to whom God said, you must listen. That's Deuteronomy 18:15. He would be born in Bethlehem of Judah. That's Micah 5:2, and he would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. So the Jews are God's chosen people, the people of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And for that reason, Satan has tried to attack and even annihilate them several times. We see that in the book of Esther, where they were on the brink of being annihilated through the evilness of Haman, and God foiled their plans, their evil plans, and had a miracle happen. And we've seen that throughout history, that there's been many attempts to try to wipe them out. More recently in our time, the Holocaust, where Hitler was literally trying to annihilate. He hated the Jewish race. He did everything he could to try to kill them. Over 6 million Jews killed. If you ever go to Israel, the Yad Vashem, you go through the museum there and you look at the atrocity of everything that happened during that time. But God's eye has always been on them. They are the apple of his eye. And so he is watching over them. So the Abrahamic covenant. And then the second one is that God's promise to bless those who bless God's chosen people. We read it there in Genesis 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse whoever curses you, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. And we must embrace the significance of this promise to extend our love, our support, our prayers for the Jewish people. We position ourselves to receive God's blessings. I've seen this over and over again in my personal life, our family life, and in our church life. Whenever we have reached out to bless the children of Israel, to bless the Jewish people, our blessings have always been ramped up. And I have seen it in our own personal finances. I've seen it in the finances of our church. If you ask our church council, they can tell you that we have seen increase and blessing over the finances of our church simply because if you look at the marker of when we started doing that, God is engaged in that blessing, and it's his promise right here. So we support the ICEJ, which is the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem. It's the largest pro-Jewish Israel ministry, Christian ministry in the world. They help people get who are Jewish to get back to their Holy Land, and they've helped hundreds of thousands of people get back to the Holy Land. They are there to bless them. And every month, we support them. We support them as a family, and we support them as a church family. A portion of our budget, a percentage of our budget, goes to support them every month. And so your giving, even your tithes and offerings, you may not have known this, but a percentage of what you give is given to support and love and bless Israel. So you may not realize this, but when you give, you have put yourself in a part of that blessing. And I don't know if you may have realized that or not, but you may walk out of here with a different spring in your step going, wow, I support Israel. I didn't even know it, but I bless Israel. Amen? Amen. The third one is that God's promise to bring the Jews back into the Holy Land after being scattered was fulfilled in 1948. Listen to this. Ezekiel 36:24, for I will take you out of the nations, because remember, they had been scattered. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. There's another promise that says, God says, will I begin a nation in one day? And that has come to pass, yes. And unfortunately, that promise came to pass through World War II and the Holocaust. It was out of that tragedy that the nations of the world gathered together and said, we need to do something for the Jewish people. So out of intense pain that we can't even understand was birthed, or rebirthed, should I say, the nation of Israel in 1948. And the pain is real. In fact, our tour guide, when we were in Israel, we were on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and I'll never forget him saying that they started playing the national anthem of Israel, and he stood and he just sang there. And then he told us that, he said, I have family and relatives that are in direct line of losing their lives in the Holocaust. And he said, no Jewish person is not affected by, in some way, by the devastation of the Holocaust. Out of that great pain and suffering, God brought them back to their land and established them as the nation of Israel once again. And I want to tell you, it is evident that God was in that whole thing, because there's been several attempts, including the one right now, to try to take them out. And in every attempt, it has backfired on the enemy. They've been outnumbered. They've been surrounded by Arab nations that have tried to annihilate them. And at every attempt, not only have they, it has been turned around, but miraculously, they have even taken ground during those times. I saw one report in the Six-Day War in 1967. The Arab nations were surrounding Israel. They were trying to attack them on all fronts. And in 6 days, if you look at the casualties, the number of people that died was a little over 800 Israelis died in that conflict. They were being attacked. 800 were killed. But in being outnumbered, the Arab countries that attacked them, 20,000 of them died. And nobody likes death. Nobody likes war. But you can see that God's hand is upon them. And so out of tremendous suffering, the Jews received their land back. The nation of Israel was reestablished, and tens of thousands of people from all over the world began to come back to Israel. This was 75 years ago. That's also very significant. That is the time frame of a generation. And Jesus said, when you see this generation coming to a close, just know that the time is near. And that's why it's so important for us to be ready, to be ready. All the things are kind of falling in line, aren't they? And so in 1967, there was the Six-Day War, also known as the Arab-Israeli War. And that was fought between between Israel and a coalition of Arab states, primarily Egypt, Syria, and Jordan. That was June 5th to June 10th, 1967. And there was an overwhelming victory by Israel, and it caused them to gain massive amounts of territory. In fact, they gained the whole Sinai Peninsula. I mean, massive amounts of territory. Later on in the 80s, if some of you older folks remember, that they gave it back to Egypt, but they were attacked and then they gained. And I want you to see this verse. Zechariah 12:3. On that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, that's Israel, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move that rock will injure themselves. Wow. Will injure themselves. It was also in the 1967 Six-Day War that for the first time in nearly 2,000 years that Israel regained control of Jerusalem. That was also very prophetic of God's timetable. And they've been in charge of that ever since. And so, which leads us into the next point. Number 4, Israel, my love. Israel and biblical prophecy of future events. That's why, another reason why we need to be focused on what's happening there in Israel, because it is so tied into last day events. One of the greatest revelations I received in Israel, as I said earlier, is that it is the center of the world. So when we were in Israel, I took many, many pictures. I just want to show you 4 right now about Bible prophecy, okay? So, and each one of them is going to be show you a big picture, and it's going to zero in on something. And I want you to see something of Bible prophecy with this, okay? Because the Bible says that the Messiah is going to return to Jerusalem. Do you remember when the disciples were observing on the Mount of Olives, they were seeing Jesus ascend into heaven, and the angels around said, hey, why are you looking up at him? This same Jesus that is going up from you right now will come back down in the same manner right here, Mount of Olives. So that's why we need to be focused, okay, over there. But take a look at this. So right now, this picture that I'm showing you right now, my wife and I are on the eastern slope, the east side of Jerusalem. So we are on the Mount of Olives right here, looking down into do you see the gold dome there? That is the Dome of the Rock. That is where Abraham had his threshing floor. And that is where the temple, where Solomon established the temple and where David established the temple. This is the meeting place to meet with God, the Ark of the Covenant, all of that, right there, looking down there, okay? Now, do you see the big wall there? Okay, if you look right before it, you see kind of a gray area, okay? We're gonna focus in on that area, okay? And then also, if you look, actually, back up, yeah, if you look to the very right, I'm going to go over here. If you go over here to the right, there is a gate right there. That is the Golden Gate, okay? They say that that's where the Messiah is going to enter into Jerusalem in the last days, okay? So he comes down, he's going to enter into Jerusalem right there, okay? Now we're going to go in a little bit closer, okay? We're going to come in a little bit closer. All right. Do you see a little bit more clear? It's hard to tell. But that gray area again. Okay, we're going to go in a little bit further. Ooh, this is exciting. Okay. Do you see these boxes right here? They kind of look like electric utility boxes. That's not what they are. Those are graves. Those are graves. And if you go past that area, that gray area right by the wall is also high real estate graves. Do you know why? Because the Jewish people believe that when the Messiah returns, they're all going to rise from the dead and they want a front row seat. Is there one more picture or is that it? One more? There they are. That's the close-up. Do you see all that? That's high real estate right there. And I want to read something to you about that. The Mount of Olives Jewish Cemetery in Jerusalem that we're pointing out right there is the largest and most important Jewish cemetery in the world. Okay? It is the oldest and most important cemetery in Jerusalem. The cemetery has been in use since King David made Jerusalem his capital 3,000 years ago. It holds about 150,000 graves. The cemetery is located on the slopes of Mount Olives, as I said, which rises across the Kidron Valley from Jerusalem's old city. And so I wanted to show you that because this place is important, and our eyes need to be focused there. Remember, the Bible says, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Jesus said, watch and pray, be ready for the return of the Messiah. And so we need to be focused on Jerusalem. We need to be focused on Israel. I'm trying to get us out of the mindset that says our Christianity is all that's, you know, this is what's happening here. No. When you hear that stuff on the news, start praying and start focusing your attention because we need to have that worldview, that perspective of Jerusalem and Israel. All right. Then the last one is that God's call to pray for the peace of Jerusalem is asked for in the Bible. If you look at Psalm 122, God gave David the city of Jerusalem. It means city of peace. And he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good, Jerusalem, Israel. Do you know, this last week when I've been hearing about all the attacks on Israel, and I don't know what it was, but especially yesterday, I felt very, very uneasy in my spirit. Because I believe with all my heart that what is happening in Israel, what is happening in Jerusalem impacts all of us. It impacts the world. And so when you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for your own peace. Amen? You're praying for the peace that happens throughout the world. And a lot of times I don't think people understand that. They don't realize it. Maybe don't even really understand the spiritual significance about the fact that when they're feeling uneasy, maybe not even know the Lord, But the Holy Spirit is moving throughout the world and is focusing on this place on planet Earth. And when it's shaking, the whole Earth is shaking, and we may not even realize it. We go along our way, people getting angry on the freeway, cutting people off, and are feeling this overarching tension and have no idea that it's happening here and affecting the world. And it's time for us as believers to be tuned in and to be prayed up and praying for the peace of Jerusalem.